You would? And I need a couple of brave men or women, adult types, teenage types. My grandson, Gabe, thank you. Oh, Scott, thank you. Uncle Bruce, I'll get you later. You can take me too, I know. One more. Good, now we got all different ages. Have you ever pretended? You guys ever pretended? You're right, go stand with get kind of in the middle. We got all three sizes of you then, yeah. When you pretend, have you ever pretended like to be a princess? Or pretending to be a king? Or a dog? Or a horse? Or something like that? I used to pretend that. You run around the house, and then we got a dog, and it pretended to be a person sometimes because we would dress it up. But you pretend. Well, when I had a dog, we would always see what we could teach it to do. And these guys have volunteered so graciously, and I really do appreciate that. And I have a Tootsie Roll. And I'll break a piece off for you. And break a piece off for you. And for you. Now, what I would do with a dog treat is I would put the dog treat on the dog's nose. Have you ever done this? They're all going to kill me later. Just come to my funeral, all right? Laugh. Bury me in the dog park at Curry or something, yes. Anyway, what the dog would have to do is I'd put a dog treat right on his nose and I'd say, wait. And sit there and wait. Show him how I did it. There we go. Get it on your nose. Get it balanced. Wait. Wait. Now, the dog didn't understand what I was doing, but it was waiting patiently, and its tail would be going. I'd say, wait. And then when I thought I'd been mean enough or nice enough, now, here's the next challenge, guys. The dog always was able to flip it off its nose into its mouth. You can try again. We'll watch. I'm telling you, they won't remember the sermon. They'll remember this. I would just eat it. That's why I guess God gave us hands. There you go. You stay up there. I'm going to give you a treat. Oh. What my dog was learning was patience. And what was it hoping for? It was hoping it would get its little treat. All right? And so one of the things... Careful, honey. Careful, careful. Careful. One of the things that he was learning was to trust that eventually I would let him get his treat. He was a lot better than you guys, though. I don't know. They're going to get their treat, though, too. That's only fair, right? They earned it, right? So I'm going to give them your treat today because they worked for it. Okay. All right. So they learned in hope. They had to live in hope. So that's what we're learning today. You guys can go and you guys can get your treat today. Oh, and they're good. Kit Kats. And if I can tear them open, I'll give you one. No, you can go back to your seats. It's okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because they worked hard, so they're getting their treat today. I know. I'll give you some later. Just go back with Daddy for now. I know. You know, I always lose on these particular kind of children's sermons. You're all laughing at me and know I'm going to lose. Working with that theme, our concept of hope, came across this little section in Romans. And it says, this little phrase here, be joyful in hope. And I thought, that's not easy to do. When you anticipate getting a candy at the end of the children's sermon, you can be joyful in hope. When you don't get the piece of candy at the end of the sermon, joy seems to dissipate a little quickly, doesn't it? It kind of goes away because you are being disappointed. Because you had hoped you'd get your piece of candy at the end of the children's sermon when you usually do, and instead you didn't get one. And now you have to be joyful in hope, which is difficult. And I think what I wanted to do for us adults is to help us understand why in the world would God have to put this modifier on our joyfulness? On our hope. Why would he have to throw that modifier to get you to be joyful in your hope? I know God's going to take me to heaven someday, but right now, right? You understand? That's hope in one sense. You're anticipating heaven, or God always takes care of me, but boy, it's taken him a long time. You know, we get that kind of Eeyore kind of thought and behavior, and so it struck me that these modifiers are thrown in here in Romans, and they really are meant to push on us. They're meant to stretch us so that we experience joy, patience, this sensitivity of cheerful anticipation. Be cheerfully anticipating with hope. Oh, these candy bars look really good. So, anyway, sorry I'm not going to have enough today, but anyway, well, all right. You understand? Cheerful anticipation in our hope. Suddenly you begin to understand how difficult that is. You begin to recognize he's not just throwing these words out. He's trying to help us grapple with something. Tom was right. That psalm is a beautiful psalm. And when you get down to the end of that psalm in Psalm 33, it starts speaking about our hope is going to be in the Lord. It identifies we wait in hope for the Lord. We wait in hope for the Lord, it says. And it says, he is our shield. He is our guarder, our protector. And it says, in him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. And so the beauty of this particular section, it says, we wait in hope for the Lord, a sensitivity. It's not a new lesson. We're not going to learn something new in Romans that other brothers and sisters who have gone before us didn't have to learn. It's the same lesson of what hope really means and how we are to live in it and why in the world we live with joyful anticipation, because right now you don't have the candy bar, right, kids? And so you have to entrust that I will take care of you. You have to put your trust not just in what you were hoping for because it didn't come when you expected it. You expected it in hope to come at the end of the children's sermon. It did not come in your timing. It did not come in your anticipation. And so when it challenges us, be joyful in hope, it makes us aware that, oh Lord, I've been praying for this thing. I was listening to a CD the other day, and it was talking about a missionary working in India who worked there 7 years before he saw his first convert. 7 years on his knees praying, 7 years seeking after God. You can read about his life, and they were just sharing some of his life and testimony on the CD, the person that was sharing in the CD. And he said, the trouble with too many people in the churches today is they're always being taught, people today have to get everything in about 6 to 8 week bites. If they don't get it in 6 to 8 week bites, they're not going to go for it. And you can't certainly expect them to do anything for an extended period of time. That's all they can handle. And he said, let me proceed to tell you that maybe our dilemma is the fact that we keep expecting life to be over in a half hour or an hour and 30 minutes or 97 or 180 or whatever movies last, depending upon which movie you're talking about. You know, they fall apart, they don't have any, the girl finds the guy, and they live happily ever after. And 90 minutes later, we go home going, aw. And he said, our dilemma is that the working of God in our lives, sometimes our hope has to take place over a period of time. You don't just sit there and hope, oh, I had hope, but that was over because I hoped for a week. I hoped for a month. And I step back and say, how would you like to be that missionary that finally says, I've been hoping for 7 years? And I go, that was a testimony. It was a testimony that convicted me and made me understand how impatient and how uncheerful I can be in hope. I didn't actually cross over to the point and say, God's not going to give it or deliver it, but I kept wanting to go, when, oh Lord, and kind of get grumpy about it, kind of be sad about it. Right, kids? Are any of you sad? Come on, raise your hand. Let's be honest. There's a sad one. Sad one. Another sad one. Only 4 sad ones? Oh, there's another sad one. Really sad? Good. That's the lesson. To learn not to be sad is the tough part. To learn to trust God, or in this case, trust the pastor, that he's going to come through for you, is the challenge. The question is, who do you view God to be? And at the end of 33, it says, we wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help. He is our protection. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. You understand? Where you place that hope is where you have to be very sensitive to, because our difficulty, if we place hope in what I anticipate, I'm always and can easily be disappointed. I thought if I did this, this, and this, then this thing would happen. And my hope was not in God. My hope was in my sequence. My hope was in my events of what I was pursuing. My hope was in what I thought was the right thing to do at the right time. And so I anticipated that after I did these things, this would be the result, and that's where I had placed my hope. Therefore, I also am filled with disappointment when it doesn't pan out that way, because I have placed my hope not in God, I've placed my hope in my effort, my logic, my reason, my concept of what the proper sequence should be and how quickly this or that event should take place. I stand in awe and I sit there and go, to stand there and be servant and missionary working for 7 years, and but now because of the ministry that he had, there are many, many converts. And you know, that are coming to faith, as the person on the CD began to explain, as a result of this man's particular sacrifice and willingness to be patient in this. So I read this and I go, here's this phrasing that we pick out of Psalm 33. We wait on the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. Our rest and our trust is in his holy name. And then you come back here to this passage in Romans. And it says this, be joyful in hope. Now, if you're looking at your pastor changing things, there isn't much trust in that. He's just a regular person like you. If you're looking at your husband to change or your wife to change, good luck. I was joking with my son, asking him if he picks up his socks. He did it once in his life when he came back from the military. Yeah, I can tease him. He can kill me later, too. Now I got all 4 guys. I'm telling you, they're going to draw and quarter me. Came back from the military. There wasn't a thing on the floor. Everything was rolled and neatly packed in his drawers. I mean, you couldn't believe what he had learned there in the Army. And then I asked his wife, I said, how's he doing now? She said, well, we don't talk or fight about it at all anymore. And it was very sweet about it. But I go, if you place your hope in somebody, there is no assurance that it's going to be delivered. Kids, people, whoever you want to name, cannot deliver on it. And so Here, the psalmist understands that. Jesus himself understood it. He understood you don't put your hope in people. You love people. You show mercy to people. You're tenderhearted to people. You encourage people. You bless people. You preach the gospel to people, but you don't entrust yourself to them because you cannot be guaranteed they will either value it, treasure it, or be consistent, or anything else, including the man or woman that you've married, including the very child that you had to work so hard to deliver and raise to whatever age they happen to be, including your best friend, including any number of other things. You begin to go, and the key, of course, is don't just simply become bitter. Be joyful in hope. Where does my faith have to rest in order to experience joy and hope? Kids, where does your faith have to rest? In? Uh-oh. You're close. Where does your faith have to rest? In? Now you can come down. Come on down. Here you go, honey. There you go. One for you, one for you. I got more, just a minute. I got to open the next one. I'm sorry. I didn't remember this plastic being this tough. Ah, there we go. And just get the right angle on it. There you go, honey. There you go. There you go, honey. There you go. Here, sweetie. Oh, I'm sorry. Here we go. Two for you. I got one more. Hang in there. Gonna have to give you both of them or something. There. I'm sorry the sermon's taking so long today. There you go, sweetie. Scott, did you get yours? Good. If you don't get it right, you'll never have joy. You know, we can read stuff, we can talk about it, we can teach it. If I don't put my trust in Christ, in my hope, there won't be any joyfulness in it. You understand, how can a person get down on his knees for 7 years praying for the conversion of what he's praying and being sent for, whatever moved him to be meeting the needs of the people in a certain area? What moves on that person's heart? It's got to be something a whole lot deeper than just what goes on in his own head. You see, when we read a section like this, it says, be joyful in hope. It is stretching you and I to rest in Christ, to focus on him, to say, my hope is in you, and I am going to trust you, and I got to call myself out every time I try and hope in my sequence. Well, I'll do this, and then that, and then she'll do this, and he'll do that, and then everybody will think this and that, and it'll all turn out fine. Where's my hope? In my logic and sequence. Oh, Lord, you are in control of all things. Make me your servant. Take and use me in any way you see fit. Give me your heart toward my wife. Give me your heart toward my husband. Give me your heart toward my mother and father. Give me your heart in this very difficult situation so that I will rest my faith and my trust upon you, because I don't know the next step. And if I do, I'll begin trusting myself incorrectly. But whatever you're calling me to do, make it so clear that I begin to walk in hope, trusting in you, Lord. And that's the challenge. A simple challenge for the new year. The challenge is to be joyfully hopeful. The challenge is to live in such a way that your hope is not in yourself, in your pastor, in people around you, because of all the inconsistencies and characteristics we all share. Not that I don't want to live up to your expectations, not that I want to sit here and anticipate disappointing you, but I want to anticipate the reality that says, if my congregation disappoints me, if my son, my father, my wife, my daughter, whatever the case might be, if they disappoint me, it will be because I began to trust in them or in the wrong thing. Instead, I'm going to trust in God. God, you love my son. You are going to teach him the things he needs to learn. And when the time is right, you have him in your hand. And my hope then, Lord, is in you. And we sing that, we pray it, we talk about it. But I need us to kind of call ourselves out on it and just set that up as one of the themes as we look forward to the new year. It says, be joyful in hope. Be joyful in it. God has promised things that he's going to work in your and my life. God has promised that he's going to continue to change circumstances. God has promised that his hand of mercy and grace is upon us and upon this nation. Our joy rests not in what I think God's going to do, but that God is going to do it. I trust in him. And I allow that sequence to be his. And so that's what I want to set us for and set us into for this new year as we start looking with growth. If you've ever planted a seed, you drop that seed in the ground. And then you wait. And you wait. And if you're lucky, it sprouts within 6 days. Sometimes they get fast-growing grass that sprouts within maybe 4. Some things seem to take forever to sprout. Be joyful in hope. What'd you do? I planted an acorn. What's your hope? That I'll have an oak tree there one day. You understand? Being joyful in hope is going, God, you are in control of the seed. You are in control of what's going to happen next. I have done what I can do, and I'm going to trust fully in you. And like Martin Luther said, he goes, you know, if I knew the world was going to end tomorrow, I'd plant an apple tree today. I thought that was a strange thing. I never got it. He meant he lived in hope. He said, you live each day like you're going to get one more, and you live each day like it's the end. You don't know what God's going to do. And what his implication was he said, even if I knew this, I still would do the things that I'm doing because I've figured it out. You live in hope, not in what you're doing, but in what God's calling you to do. And so he would plant that next apple tree today. And that's that thing that he's trying to get us to do. Living in this attitude, like it says here in this phrase, be joyful in hope. And the others you can add to it. Pray with me if you would. My hope is in you, Lord. I sing it, I pray it, but I don't always live it. Lord, you can change my heart. In you, I have the ability to become a new man. In you, Lord, old habits, inconsistencies, behaviors, all have the opportunity to be changed. In you, Lord, I have an ability to become different in the way I respond to people. In you, Lord, I have an ability to discover not just hope, but joyful hope, that I discover, Lord, not trusting in my plan, but trusting in your plan, and trusting that you're going to be faithful. Lord, I pray that you would give us that kind of missionary spirit, that kind of brokenness, that kind of special humility that simply says, Lord, you build the church. Lord, you build the kingdom. You, Lord, cause the plant to grow. You, Lord, tell us to throw the seed, plant the seed, and that it says you will give it the growth. And so, Lord, help us to live in that kind of hope, like the farmer, like those who have gone before us, Lord, to trust, my hope is in you, Lord, no matter what the conditions are that I'm living in right in this moment. And so, Lord, bless us to that end. We pray it all in your name. As the offering is